The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show.
But first, two very important questions. Have you ever tried to stack marbles while wearing boxing gloves? Also, did you know that marigolds and geraniums hate each other?
Absolutely.
And now your host, Eric Metaxas.
Folks, welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show. My goodness, Alvin and Chris, it's already Tuesday. I can't believe it. I love the idea. Chris, will you say something so people can see what's going on behind you?
Yes. Hello there. I have a Mike Lindell ad playing on loop behind me.
Oh, wow. What could be more profitable, literally and figuratively? I hope people understand that if you don't go to MyPillow.com and use the code Eric, you don't get our discount. You need to go tell all your friends. That's the most important thing. The second most important thing is, Alvin, who's behind you?
Well, I've got Mike Lindell. He's taken my Eric Metaxas Show hat to remind you, Eric is the code that you use.
Isn't it fascinating? There's a theme in the show today here. Now, we're coming up with John Zmirak any second. So, ladies and gentlemen, you have like 10 minutes to buckle your seatbelt because it's going to be a bumpy interview. Zmirak,
oh my,
is sawed off crazy today. Usually, he's sawed off crazy, but it doesn't matter, because he knows exactly what he's saying, and he is just extraordinary. In hour two, our old friend Larry Taunton has a new book out. This is another one. You don't want to miss it. The guy has literally gone around the world to dozens of countries, and he's written a book about it. Okay, couple things to mention real quick. Yesterday, we had on Douglas Murray, who is a gay atheist who writes for The Spectator and is politically conservative and is one of the brightest thinkers out there. And if you are not acquainted with him, don't miss him. Yesterday, it was just one of it. Just it is so encouraging to me when you meet people that you haven't met and you realize that they understand things that many people don't understand, and they can articulate them just spectacularly. So thank you, Douglas Murray, for being you. And I hope we get him on again soon. We also had Jerome Hudson. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Jerome Hudson is an African-American conservative who, man, he just cracks me up. He wrote a book called 50 Things They Don't Want You to Know About Trump. And another, like one of these conversations to think, where did this guy come from? I love this guy. So we'll get him again too. Now, today we got Zmirak, we got Taunton, but I've got to tell you, this weekend I was in San Jose, California. You know, it's in Silicon Valley. I went to the most wonderful church ever. Mike McClure is the pastor there. And our friend Neil Mammon is part of it. His family is part of it. And they, he did an event, sort of a political event for me to speak at on Saturday night. And then Sunday morning, I preached in this church. They've been fined $300,000 by Pretty Boy Governor Gavin Newsom for meeting in this church. It's 1,000 people packed in. They've been doing it for 22 weeks. They have not had one case of COVID.
What?
Not one, which I think technically is zero.
Mm.
Yeah. So, but I had such a great time there. I hope I can get to go back there in the spring. Calvary Chapel, San Jose, California. If you can get there, folks, go there. It was amazing. In other news, I have to say that we are, I post tons of stuff on Twitter, Facebook, Parler, and Gab, and I'm trying to do more on Instagram, but there have been a number of brilliant articles that's the only way I can kind of get them out there. I will try to put them on my e-blast. If you're not signed up for that, obviously, you know, you need to go to MetaxasTalk.com, sign up for the e-blast. We need you to do that. But one of the things that I posted everywhere. Just yesterday, National Review Online published part of my essay that is the introduction to my new Bonhoeffer book. Do I have a copy? I think I have a copy right here. This is the new edition of my Bonhoeffer book that I'm holding in my hand. Mm-hmm. And it's specially designed. It's kind of like a pop-up book. And but the point is that I wrote an essay in it about time and death and how Bonhoeffer helps us to deal with those two issues. It's part of the fall, right? Time and death. And the course of writing the book, how I felt, and all those kinds of stuff. Anyway, National Review Online, I posted it, has generously published a large chunk of that. And you can find that. You can also order the Bonhoeffer, the new Bonhoeffer book, which, again, is so beautiful. Thank you, Thomas Nelson. You can find that at SocratesInTheCity.com at a great price. And speaking of great prices, MyStore.com, which is connected to MyPillow.com, has in stock once more all of the Donald the Caveman books. You see, Donald the Caveman is behind me. That's not really him, no. But it's a cardboard cutout of him. But that is Mike Lindell, just to be clear, in case you're watching this on video. But the MyStore.com discount, if you buy all three Donald books, they are less than $11 each. I am losing money on this, ladies and gentlemen. I just wanted to get them out during the election. Just
folks, help Eric lose money, please. Buy those books.
Yes, help me lose money. And Mike Lindell is also probably losing money on it because it's at but it's mystore.com. And you won't find them any cheaper anywhere ever. I promise you that there's no way we can do it. I mean, literally, you go to mystore.com. Is no code. It's so cheap. There's no code. You just go there. And if you buy all three, you get them for that. Even if you only buy one, they're still cheap. But all three, it's less than $11. It's like $10.99 each.
Put the code Eric in anyway, just to get used to it.
Just for laughs. Just for laughs. No, but I want to say they're back in stock. They weren't in stock. And friends of mine are complaining that Amazon says it's not available till December 4th. And Amazon says the other one's not available till November 11th. And so I don't know what to tell you about Amazon. All I can tell you is that mystore.com has them in stock. If you go there, you not only will you get them, but you'll get them at an absurdly low price. Like, honestly, it's ridiculous. So I wanted to say those things, mystore.com. Hey, Albin and Chris, yes. can I bring up something else?
Yes, please.
Yeah, do it, man. Do it.
Okay. We're doing a fundraiser for religious liberty. We have shaved off facial hair.
Yes, I have. And hair.
Albin has shaved off facial hair that includes his beard and his mustache. Mm-hmm. And we've raised money from him doing that. And I want to say to those of you who gave for him to do that, what could be more ridiculous than that? And yet we're raising money for a great cause. I don't need to tell you that religious liberty is being threatened like every second. Just last night, Amy Coney Barrett was sworn in at the White House. And I see her as a bulwark against religious liberty abuses in the country, because it's getting ridiculous. So many people don't understand the Constitution. So unless you have jurists who understand it, but then there's one other problem. You have to go to court. You have to spend money to take these things into court to get justice done. So ADF does it for free. Let me say it again, for free. They're taking on all kinds of cases. I can hardly get into them. But the fact of the matter is, this is very important, and we want everyone to give. If you give, you're enrolled in our grand prize, which is gigantic. If you give more, you get all kinds of other stuff. But we also made this offer, Albin. We said that, okay, somebody paid to have you shave your beard. Somebody paid to have you get the mustache off. But now we have the hair. We have the actual beard and mustache leavings.
While supplies last.
So the question is, did anybody give? Because we said that if anybody gives $500, they can get a hunk of the beard or a hunk of the mustache in a little museum vial. They can keep it in their safe deposit box. We don't know if anybody gave yet.
No. I just wrote to them and said, please send that list. We got to announce some folks on the air. And by the way, I don't have the vials, but I will put it like in a nice little envelope.
Museum style envelope.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is high quality hair. You got to treat it right. It's historic. It will never be grown again.
Nope.
All right. So the number, I'm going to give you the phone number, but we really need you to be generous. By the way, you go to MetaxasTalk.com. Let me leave it at that. Go to MetaxasTalk.com. You'll see the banner there. We'll mention again later with the phone number. I don't have it in front of me. Very important when we come back. Whoa, it's John Spierak time.
Nobody loves me. Funny, but it seems that it's the only thing to do.
Big John. Big John.
Ladies and gentlemen, promises made, promises kept. I tell you that I bring you the finest guests in the universe. I have to cap it someplace, so it's in this universe. If you're a multiverse person and there are people that are better in other universes, I don't know how to get those people, nor does science know whether these multiverses even exist. So I don't want to mock them, but I do. But the point is, in this universe, we promise the best guests. Among the best of the best is a guy I like to call John Spierak. John Spierak, welcome to the program.
Hi, Eric. It's great to be on.
But an article. You write all these brilliant articles and nobody can keep up with you. And people who are homeschooling, and I meet them all the time, the homeschool kids are totally going to take over the world. When I give my speeches, they know everything that I say. Only the parents are learning something from my speech. All the kids know this stuff. They're going to take over the world. And I say, all parents, if you've got homeschool kids, make the brighter ones read each of John's articles. It's like, and he's giving you a curriculum every day. But the most wonderful one recently, John, tell us about the title and the background and explain it. It is just absolutely one of my favorite ones you've written. Go ahead.
Well, thanks, Eric. It's called Donald Trump Will Ride a Coyote to Victory. And it has, thanks to the wonderful graphics people at stream.org, we have an image of Donald Trump riding a giant coyote as if it were a little Shetland pony. And I believe he will ride it to victory next Tuesday. Now,
wearing an emperor's laurel wreaths of some kind.
I would rather he wore the helmet of Charlemagne. But, you know, that's just a personal choice.
The helmet of Charlemagne. Not to be confused with Charlemagne the God.
It's actually the Iron Crown of Lombardy, to be pedantic. But anyway, so when I watched the debate, okay, coming into the debate, I frankly had been kind of down the last 2 weeks, Eric. I didn't think the first presidential debate went very well.
You know why? Because it didn't.
Right. Well, you see, that's the difference. We are not complete obsessed zombies. Oh, no, the president performed perfectly. It is the fault of the law of electromagnetism and liberal media bias. No, he didn't do very well.
Yeah.
Whatever the situation, you know, yeah, it was rigged against him. But if you're going to agree to a debate and know it's rigged against you, you have to go in and win anyway. And that is that didn't happen with the NBC TV voter thing with that woman. And I was starting to get down and I'm wondering, why isn't Bill Barr getting the laptop with Hunter Biden's email? How deep does the fix go? And then at the same time, Pope Francis, head of my church, comes out for same-sex unions.
Wait a minute. Maybe you can explain this to me, because I'm not kidding. When I couldn't understand it. It seems to me, if you don't mind my saying so, because I'm trying to interpret.
Let's not waste more than a few seconds.
I know, Francis, but
okay.
What in the world? He didn't come out for same-sex marriage. He came out for same-sex unions, and it's the kind of thing that you could think like, "Yeah, I get that. No. I'm not against that. As a Christian, I don't believe in whatever, but as a legal thing or whatever." But why was the Pope bringing this up? It just was completely confusing.
Yeah. Well, this is the Pope is trying to help elect Biden, and he's throwing stuff at the wall to try to elect Joe Biden. And this was one effort, I think, to demoralize conservative voters in America. A week before, he had issued a 45,000 word encyclical. I've written books of that length, in which he overturned what previous popes had said on capital punishment, national borders, we shouldn't have them, and private property.
Okay, I didn't mean to get you off on this, but the point
all I care about right now.
No, but you've explained to me kind of.
Pope Francis is a secular leftist who got control of the papacy. I don't think he believes in God, to be completely honest.
Okay, not that there's anything wrong with being.
But so right now, all I care about is Pope Francis's impact on this election. The church will deal with him as it dealt with Arius, as it dealt with Donatus, as it dealt with many heretics over the centuries. But
yes.
What this boils down to was I went into this debate feeling pretty down, thinking, you know, my country and my church might not exist in any recognizable form by the time I die.
And it's hard to believe it's a week ago. It was last Wednesday or last Tuesday. I don't know. Anyway, but you're feeling down. Go ahead.
So then Trump goes into the debate. He's funny. He's masterful. He's in control. Biden is nervous. Biden is defensive. The moderator, while clearly on Biden's side, because she didn't ask him any follow-up questions, where she asked Trump like 10.
Yeah.
Nevertheless, she was not as nakedly annoying as Chris Wallace. And I thought the mute button actually helped Donald Trump. Donald Trump kind of needs a shock collar. So do I. I've been told I should never have a live radio show. Should need a 10-second delay or a shock collar because, you know, go off the rails. We're both from Queens. Don and I, the president and I are both from Queens. You are too, but you went to Connecticut. You got that polish. That's why you wear the tweed. That's why you apologize to people and admit you were wrong and stuff
live.
Like that.
Okay. I typically don't do the program live, so that's my own shock collar. But
Trump did really well, and he was funny, and Biden was flailing. But the best part happened on Twitter. You can't say that very often. The president referred to the reality of coyotes, or coyotes, as they say in the region. He talked about coyotes smuggling people, smuggling children into America. He explained that he didn't build any cages for children. Actually, Obama and Biden built those cages, but that he was enforcing their policy of temporarily separating adults from children who come across the border illegally. Why? Because coyotes are using children to get into the country. They're trafficking those children.
And look, John, let me just say, the level of wickedness, Americans tend to be naive because we live in a wonderful country, mostly really wonderful people. But there are people that are so wicked, you can't even imagine. These people that smuggle these kids in, they call them coyotes. They are wicked people. They rape the women. They probably rape many of the children. They treat them cruelly. They drag them in. They sell them to sex traffickers, and they pretend to be the father of the kids.
Right.
They say, oh, you're separating kids from their families. And in many cases, you are separating kids from their abusers.
That's right. And I'll go further. If parents are dragging kids 1,000 miles through the desert with being conducted by sex traffickers and narco terrorists, who are the ones who control the border, you know, if you were an American, you'd lose custody of your kids for doing that. So let's not get too self-righteous about the ones who actually are the parents have just endangered that child in the grossest possible way, because having a child with you helps you get across the border because of liberal policies. Our liberal policies have said that child is your golden ticket. If you have a small child, drag him through the desert, and if he lives, that will get you into America. And so both parents and the coyote traffickers are using these little helpless kids.
The other thing is, too, that we tend to just, you know, the way people tend to anthropomorphize fish or something like that, we tend to look at everybody through our own lens, like every parent is basically good. All you have to do is read a little Dickens or read a little history, and you realize that parents have sold their children into sex slavery. Parents have there are unimaginably evil things. And to use your child in that way, we have to condemn it. We have to condemn it.
Eric, I've heard that there are parents who send their kids to Dalton School and then to Yale.
I know.
It staggers the imagination.
Don't even say that on this program.
It staggers the imagination what some parents are willing to do. Anyway, So at this point, Trump is saying, you know, this is a major problem. And we actually at stream.org, we had a piece by Eduardo Verástegui, one of the most popular actors in Mexico and a pro-life activist. He wrote an article begging Americans to build a wall to stop the hemorrhaging of Mexican and Central American children into the American child pornography industry and sex industry. He said thousands every year disappear, are never seen again. Some of them end up as slave laborers on farms. Under the Obama administration, before they separated the children, they found 10,000 Mexican kids being used as slave labor on potato farms in the Midwest.
All right.
Okay. John, that's the kind of evil we're dealing with.
How is that not a headline in the New York Times? I mean, if we were living in
Under Obama, it was in the Washington Post. This is not something I posted on my blog. This is real news. Okay, so Donald Trump talks about this real tragic thing, the phenomenon of coyotes, of human traffickers, child smugglers, and rapists.
Okay, John, no. We're going to go to a break. Ladies and gentlemen, you won't believe the rest of this story. The punchline will come up as soon as we start our next segment. You won't believe it, what people on Twitter said about Trump's comment about coyotes dragging these children into America. Don't go away. Investors seeking steady cash flow, ready to diversify? NRIA has grown to be one of the nation's leading specialists and offers 10% annualized monthly payouts with bonuses targeted at 18 to 21%. That's right. You could receive steady 10% return monthly payments with bonuses. As their slogan says, they specialize in realty investing done right. You can even use your 401k or IRA to invest. NRIA's 15-year track record and $1.2 billion in new construction development backs you. Learn how you can invest in this hard asset real estate cash flow fund today and receive 10% annualized monthly payouts with bonuses. This is something savvy investors should research and consider. Call now 800-700-5483. That's 800-700-5483 or visit NRIA.net.
An offer to buy or sell any security is only made by our private placement memorandum. Read it first. See us at NRIA.net.
Folks, I got some embarrassing news to share with you, but you know what? This is just the kind of a show where I don't care. I'm willing to lay my heart, you know, on the line. Here's the issue. Mike Lindell with My Pillow. You may notice that I have a bobblehead of him near me. He's here to remind all of us that when you go to MyPillow.com, you get whopping discounts if you use the code Eric, okay? Now, there are a lot of people who haven't done that, and we have your names here. And Chris Himes and Albin pointed out to me that there's like three pages of you whose first name is Eric. You yourself, I mean, that's humiliating for me that even though your name is Eric, you're still not willing to use the code Eric. I mean, if you don't want to use it because it's my name, use it because it's your name. But the point is that I see who you are, and I just feel humiliated by this. Please go to MyPillow.com. It's okay, Mike. It's going to be okay. Go to MyPillow.com. Use the code Eric. You're going to get whopping savings and really high-quality products. Did I mention that? Thank you.
Our love is alive.
Ladies and gentlemen, The Punchline with John Smirek. John, tell our audience. Go ahead.
So Donald Trump talked about the child sex trafficking kidnappers that everyone in Mexico and down around the border call coyotes. And Twitter lights up. The blue checks, the alleged elites of Twitter, start chiming in. The best one was someone named Darshan Kendrick. She is a Georgia state representative and chief deputy whip of the Democratic Party of Georgia in the Georgia House. And she wrote this wonderful thing. Did real Donald Trump just say 545 kids that can't find their parents for came over through cartels and coyotes? How the hell does a coyote bring a whole human across the border? Lord, stop talking.
Right. So the point is,
she thought he meant real coyotes.
The elected official down far south enough that she might be aware of the term coyotes used as people who smuggle kids in, thought it was referring to actual coyotes. And as you say,
Wait, Eric, let me continue. David Hogg, remember that kid who couldn't get into his local college and then Harvard let him in because of the shooting in Parkland? He goes on, imagine calling the immigrant parents that bring their children to the United States for a better life coyotes. The level of xenophobia is sickening. And Eric, there were hundreds and hundreds and hundreds more chimed in. PJ Media did a compilation, hundreds of blue check so-called elites on Twitter chiming in, condemning Donald Trump for thinking that Wile E. Coyote was carrying, riding children on his back. And Utah chimed in and talked about Romulus and Remus and the wolf suckling the coyote, suckling the children. And it is just staggering. It is staggering. Okay, so that's hilarious, right? It's hilarious, the level of stupidity. But what's amazing is the arrogance. This Georgia state rep says, oh, just stop talking, President. You know, just stop talking. If you think little dog-sized creatures are giving Mexican kids pony rides into America, just stop there. And okay, so that's bad enough. They haven't taken the tweets down. None of these people have taken these tweets down. If I get the name of a member of Congress wrong in a tweet, I get embarrassed and I delete the thing. These people are out there lecturing the president, who was trying to stop human trafficking, who was arresting human traffickers and saving kids. And they're lecturing him about, you know, Mexicans can't ride coyotes. Coyotes are rather small, Mr. President. The arrogance, the stupidity.
It's so funny.
Put down. That's what, you know, that it stops being funny. These are the people running America.
Let me continue, Eric, please. Sorry, go.
These people are running America. These are the people letting our cities get burned down. These are the people letting China steal our secrets. These are the people closing down the economy and causing suicides and bankruptcies in the name of, well, there are more virus cases, but there are fewer deaths. But there are more virus cases. We're all going to die of the virus. These stupid, arrogant, entitled, privileged little pieces of crap who you and I went to college with.
When you say that in love, go ahead.
The same kind of people who condescended to us when we bring up the facts, we actually prove them wrong. They just go, okay. I guess, John, you read that on a right-wing website.
I just want to say,
Americans are going to vote against these people. Americans cannot be run by David Hogg. I think on Tuesday, we're going to win big and Donald Trump is going to ride that coyote to victory over these people because we can't stand it anymore. It's like the plane is being flown by a guy in a clown outfit smoking a crack pipe. I'm sorry, Hunter. I didn't mean to go there, Hunter Biden.
Look, I gotta say, the reason I find it so hilarious is, of course, because it's also so horrible. You cannot believe that people, I mean, it's one thing to get something wrong. It's one thing not to be educated. It's one thing to be ignorant on something. I don't have a problem with that. The problem is when you either don't apologize or are unaware of it and shove it in people's faces, even though people are trying to tell you that's wrong. This is a grievous, embarrassing thing. But these people seem to think if you say anything against Trump, it almost doesn't matter if people believe it or not or know it. But well, you know, and I are here. What are we really here to say, John? Let's cut to the chase. We're here to say one thing. Unspeakable cruelty is being done to children and vulnerable women at the border. This is a fact. Now, we can discuss immigration policy all day long, but if you are not prepared to acknowledge that unspeakable evils are being done because of our previous immigration policies, we have encouraged these bloodthirsty, violent, greedy monsters to treat vulnerable women and children this way. Unless you're prepared to acknowledge that and deal with it, how can we ever have a conversation about immigration policy?
But you know, the same idiots in power principle applies in other areas. Look at Andrew Cuomo, who on television talked about the Matilda Law and protecting his old mama while dumping COVID patients on nursing homes, killing at least 10,000 veterans and grandparents in New York, then denying he had done it, taking the executive order off the website. He now claims it never existed. You and I read it. You and I saw it on the New York Health Department website and talked about it. Now Cuomo is saying it didn't even happen, and he's publishing a book on his own exemplary leadership during the COVID crisis. That's Soviet-level disinformation.
John, I'm going to tell you something. Americans, thanks to you and others, are waking up. I am very hopeful about the election. When we come back, more with John Smirak. Before I begin the conversation with John Smirak, I want to remind you two things. First of all, mystore.com has the Donald books back in stock, less than $11 each if you buy all three. That is insane. I'm just telling you, mystore.com. Number two, 8 questions about race. It's a new book by Bishop Aubrey Shines. He's the founder of Conservative Clergy of Color. It arms conservatives with rebuttals to the absurd claims of Black Lives Matter, like the idea that all white people are racist or that the justice system is inherently and always unfair to Black people. It's a must read for people who care about the country. To get a copy, I would go to 8questionsaboutrace.com. It's a small book. It's kind of perfect for everybody. It's a primer on the basics, so you understand the subject. It's spelled out E-I-G-H-T. 8questionsaboutrace.com. Please get copies for friends, neighbors, fellow churchgoers. It's an important rebuttal. We need to have this. 8questionsaboutrace.com. Okay, John, the situation's Smirak. John, we're talking about your great article. Please continue.
I got another piece because we just covered that one. They've got another piece, the Biden family crime wave.
Now, that's a new piece. That's up today.
Yep. All right. So there are riots in Philadelphia again, okay, because of a man came at the cops with a knife and they shot him, which is what cops are supposed to do, and they started tearing up the city of Philadelphia. Again, local Democrats won't stop them. Democrat governor won't stop them. Joe Biden won't tell the Democrat governor to stop them. And the one good question that Chris Wallace asked of Joe Biden in the first debate was, why didn't you get on the phone with those Democrat governors and mayors over the course of 3.5 months, as tens of billions of dollars of damage were done mostly to the Black and Hispanic community by rioters, by Black anarchists of Black Lives Matter, white anarchists of Antifa, Marxists, and just thugs and thieves, destroying thousands of family businesses, setting back those cities for decades. If you remember the riots in Newark in the 60s, Newark never recovered. Detroit never recovered. Minneapolis, Seattle may never recover from what the Democrats allowed their own people to do. I'm talking about rioters would get arrested, setting a police station on fire with the cops barricaded inside, and they would be released without bail. It was catch and release for violent anarchists across the country for months. And Chris Wallace said, why didn't you get on the phone and get them to stop? He said, well, I'm just a private citizen. I'm not in public office. A few minutes later, he said, I am the Democratic Party. I set the agenda. I said, pick one, Joe. Either you are the Democratic Party or you're a retiree watching a Golden Girls marathon. No, but he's both. He's both. Joe Biden is both. He is a floor wax and a dessert topping. Joe Biden embodies everything about the Democratic Party, and he's a one-man crime wave. And that's what I want to talk about, because what's really going on, if you find Joe Biden puzzling, if you find why, on the one hand, was he just last year praising as an icon of civility Senator John Eastland, formerly of Georgia, who was a violent segregationist. And I have a quote here. Senator John Eastland has said, When in the course of human events, it becomes necessary to abolish the Negro race, proper methods must be used. Among these are guns, bows and arrows, slingshots and knives, unquote. That was Senator John Eastland, whom Joe Biden in 2019 praised for his civility and his political skills.
When did Eastland say that? I'm just blown away.
He said it in the 50s, but I mean, he never apologized. He was not a repentant segregationist. This is the same Joe Biden who, when asked about school desegregation, said he didn't want his kids to grow up in a racial jungle. This is the same Joe Biden who's endorsed by white racist leader Richard Spencer. He never disavowed that. So Joe Biden runs around calling white racists very fine people. Doesn't matter, though. He's fine when anarchist mobs tear down Abraham Lincoln, Frederick Douglass, Theodore Roosevelt. He doesn't care. Now, that's interesting. Does Joe Biden have some very complex political theory? No. Joe Biden has never met a political principle, period. Never met one. Joe Biden cares about one thing, enriching Joe Biden and the Biden family, which I think the president is right to call the Biden crime family.
Well, I don't think it's disputable at this point. What I find funny, again, I say funny, monstrous, evil and horrifying. But the idea that now that Biden has not disavowed the emails, that Hunter Biden has not disavowed the emails, that we have this guy Bob Alinsky saying it's all real. In other words, all they can say, it's Russian disinformation. Then right. You think, okay, what do you mean? How is it possible for Russians to create disinformation on this level? Your average American knows a laptop turning up at some guy's place, he makes copies, he sends it to the FBI, whatever. That is not how Russians do it, disinformation.
Also, Eric,
the claim to shut people up, but the media.
Right, no, Eric. But let me stick to the fact. We have other people from the emails vouching for them, saying, "Yeah, I sent that email. We know it's not disinformation." But what makes sense of all this? Let's look at the pattern. China launches this virus on the world. The virus is spreading in China. They shut down China. They keep flights going to Europe and the United States. Donald Trump sees this happening. It's a bio attack. He wants to close down air traffic from China. Joe Biden says, no, that's xenophobic. Then the Democrats are trying to impeach Donald Trump for what? For making one phone call asking about Biden's corruption in Ukraine. That fails. So what do? They grab the virus and say, wait, we can tank the economy. We can close down the economy all across the country, destroy Trump's economy and win the election. And Biden is behind it. Then the Democrats, these riots start happening. Again, Biden calculates this makes Trump look weak. Maybe he'll overreact, send in the military and start shooting people. He doesn't try to get the riots to stop. We know he had the power to, because when the polls really started to show that the riots were hurting the Democrats, they stopped overnight, as if George Soros had sent out a fax. They stopped overnight. You remember, like 6 weeks ago, the riots all stopped. These spontaneous peaceful protests burning down half of America stopped dead like the Thanksgiving Day parade at 3 p.m. when Santa Claus rose through. Okay, now, what is the uniting thing? It's all about getting Joe Biden into power in order to keep Joe Biden out of prison. Well, okay, Joe Biden doesn't get to be president. Joe Biden might end up in prison. His son might end up in prison. This is a crime family we're dealing with.
Going to a break. Final segment with John Smirek. Why would you go away? Folks, welcome back. I'm talking to John Smirek. John, what else?
The combination of left-wing radicalism and just disgusting, filthy, self-serving corruption. It's just so beautifully summed up in the Biden-Harris ticket. Biden Biden would support the reintroduction of white slavery if that's what was necessary to keep enriching his family. Biden, on the one hand, worked for the credit card companies trying to screw ordinary people so they couldn't go bankrupt, so they couldn't discharge their credit card debts. And on the other hand, now he's enabling Marxists and radicals who want to nationalize the whole economy. Joe Biden doesn't care. Joe Biden is just a crook. Kamala Harris is a rabid leftist and power-hungry maniac. The combination of them really makes me think of the young Joseph Stalin, who was a bank robber and kidnapper in order to raise money for the Bolshevik Party. But he also liked his work. He loved his work.
Joseph Stalin were pseudo-black, he would be Kamala Harris. You know, John, I want to tell you something. Seriously, I think when you mention Kamala Harris, I mean, she was questioned by Nora O'Donnell, I think on CBS, either yesterday or the day before, rather seriously. And she laughs everything off. Nora O'Donnell, who is certainly no conservative, says, you know, you're the most liberal senator in the Senate. Blah, 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 blah. She laughed it off. She goes, oh, that's what, you know, that's what the president claimed, or that's what the vice president Pence claimed. She laughs. You know, she does that gales of laughter. Nora O'Donnell came right back and pursued it because it's a fact. But most Americans don't know how radical she is.
And also, she's crooked. Kamala Harris took tens of thousands of dollars from liberal Catholic institutions in San Francisco that she was running against a prosecutor who was digging up sex abuse, the priests abusing children. She took tens of thousands of dollars from the law firms defending the pedophiles. She won as DA in San Francisco. Not one more priest or school was prosecuted for sex abuse. She did the same thing with Planned Parenthood. She took tens of thousands of dollars from Planned Parenthood. When David DeLeiden investigated them for selling baby parts, she tried to send DeLeiden to prison. So the combination of squalid, filthy, lick the bottom of the New York subway tunnel corruption and irresponsible, reckless, utopian, crazy ideas burned down the cities, they sum it up beautifully. And I think Donald Trump is going to crush these people, God willing, because we're going to have one heck of a country if he doesn't.
Wow. I like to end on a semi-positive note. First of all, when you wrote your article about Donald Trump riding a coyote to victory, like, I just laughed and laughed. I looked up the tweet by this state senator in Atlanta or in Georgia, and where she writes, did real Donald Trump just say 545 kids that can't find their parents came through cartels and coyotes? How the hell does a coyote bring a whole human across the border? Lord said, okay. So I wrote, just to clarify how the coyotes do this. And I wrote, this is like my don't you believe it. I wrote, nature's workhorses of the American Southwest. Coyotes travel in packs and usually team up to drag human children over the border. The females sometimes suckling the thirsty kiddos Romulus and Remus fashion, but always split the profits, even Stephen, after selling them to traffickers. So I just want people to understand that's how it's done. That's how they do it in packs. I want to leave people with the phone number for ADF. Folks, we need your help desperately. That's why I'm giving you the phone number. You know to go to MetaxasTalk.com, but some of you would prefer to use a phone number. I'm going to give it to you slowly. I'm begging you, give something. We don't care. 855-547-5333. That's 855-547-5333, 855-547-5333. Religious liberty needs defending. ADF needs your help. John Zmierich, my friend, thank you so much.
Thank you, Eric.